Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. And this is Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal, talking Ole Miss and Mississippi State for the next half hour or so. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Parrish. We're getting ready to close this thing out. We're in the final regular season weekend, so it's almost here. Hoover is almost upon us, and I guess what you and I will be reuniting next week in Hoover and spending some time together and spitballing some ideas, kind of going into the summer, kind of what our plans are for that.
Hey, they call it the marathon, man. They say SEC baseball, 10 weeks, 30 games. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We're almost to the end of the marathon. I'm looking forward to getting to Hoover, Logan, and seeing. I think that new building is open this year. You know, part of the deal.
I think it is, yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Part of the deal with them keeping the tournament in Hoover had to do with all of the improvements they were going to make to the facility, and one of them was just this big fan area with, I think, a sports bar and restaurants and just a big a place for people to go and get out of the heat and be indoors, in addition to so many things for the teams as well. I'm really interested to see what that's like over there this year. I mean, I know the plans that they had were very impressive. Sometimes plans get scaled back, and the end result is not quite as impressive as the artist rendering. So we'll see what that's all about next week in Hoover, the regular season closing this week. Everybody's starting that Thursday, Friday, Saturday series that we enjoy so much, and we'll talk about baseball later in the program. Before we get there, folks, want to remind you to check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. That's coming to you every Wednesday and Friday. And Logan, just as we look for different things to talk about on the podcast, you know, lo and behold, Hugh Freeze gave us something to talk about today. He's competing or did compete in the Pro-Am for that seniors golf tournament in Birmingham, the region's Pro-Am. And I forget who he played with, who his pro was, but I think it wasn't Colin Montgomery. I forget, maybe it was Jose Marie Olazabal. Maybe that was who Freeze's pro was with. But I was, you know, when I get on the treadmill, Logan, at Snap Fitness, I often listen to Rick and Bubba, and I really enjoy those guys as morning radio. And they were broadcasting live from that golf tournament this morning on Wednesday. We're producing this for you folks on a Wednesday evening, and I heard them say then they were talking about all the coaches who were going to be stopping by and who were going to come and chat with them, and you know, a couple of pro golfers and things like that, just a lot of interviews that they had lined up. And I heard them say that Hugh Freeze had decided not to do the media thing. And they didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. They just kind of left it at that. And, of course, I knew why Freeze had decided against the media thing. But not long after his round of golf, still in the morning on Wednesday, we saw the clip begin to make the rounds on Twitter, where Freeze had agreed to an interview with, with a number of media. What this whole thing centered around television media, a guy with a camera asking a question. And you knew the NCAA question was coming because that's the topic that everyone thinks about, particularly everyone outside of Mississippi right now when you think about Ole Miss football. You know, inside of Mississippi, I think you know, there's still a little bit of unrest, uneasiness about it. Ole Miss fans wanting to see it come to a conclusion, but understanding where they are in the process. And you know, it's later this month. It's next week, actually, that Ole Miss will have its deadline to respond to the NCAA, and I believe it will be early in June, first week of June, that Ole Miss will share publicly its response to the NCAA. Those are kind of the next dates on the calendar. And if you're in Mississippi and you've been following along, You've heard Bjork say that at different times. Sure, you've seen that in different forms of media coverage. But outside of Mississippi, you know, people think and and talk about the NCAA investigation if they're talking about Ole Miss football. So Freeze accepts the interview opportunity with this small group, as we can see in the video. And I'm not sure that he should have done that, because you knew the NCAA question was coming. And, I just think he could have said, look, everybody understands that this is a different summer. This is a different time. I think they understand completely if he opts out of an interview situation right now. And I think that would have been better than just shaking his head and kind of cutting off the guy in the middle of the question and walking away. That being said, I thought the question was kind of lame. I didn't think that it was really advancing the conversation in any way. There was no real quest for information in that question. It was about, hey, can you talk about, hey, are you eager? Are you eager for all this to come to? Well, obviously he's eager. The question, could have been rephrased with a little more to it than that. So both parties could have done a little bit better. But I think you're better served by just not saying yes, I'll answer a few questions. Better served that way than just cutting off a question in the middle and walking away, because, if your goal was to stay out of the news cycle, well, you just inserted yourself into the news cycle and into the retweet machine for everybody that saw it.
Yeah, and I don't think the question was out of line by any stretch. You know, the guy was doing his job, and I think he was trying to ask it is generally, kind of walking on eggshells with the question, trying to ask it as generally as possible. And, obviously I kind of understood both parties. I mean, obviously, Hugh Freeze doesn't want to talk about that. The guy has to ask that question. He tried to do it as gingerly as possible. And, Hugh Freeze says, nah, and just kind of walks away, and that's the end of that. I thought Hugh probably could have handled himself a little bit better, because, if you agree to do that, he's smart enough to know that that's coming, and he kind of opened himself up for that. But, yeah, I think that's one of the things that I'm so surprised that that this thing's dragging out as long as it has. I mean, I remember last year, you and I were together in Hoover when this whole thing came out. I mean, so we're going on nearly a calendar year that, the first, thing came out about all this. And, if they don't hurry up and get this thing done, then Hugh Freeze is going to have to face a lot of questions about the NCAA, because he's going to have to show up to media days in Hoover in July, and he's going to have to talk about this. I mean, he's going to get hammered for the entire time he's there. So he's going to have to face the music sooner or later. And, I would think that they would want to go ahead and get this thing out instead of dragging their feet, with all, taking the full 90 days or 60 days or whatever to, it's kind of like they're just dragging this whole process out.
Well, it is. And surely Ole Miss kind of knew what its response would be. They would not have to take the complete time to respond, but there are other parties in the letter that might want to respond. And so everybody gets that full complement of 90 days. Everybody gets that window. And this has kind of been the MO with Ole Miss through this process. They're going to take that time. They're going to take that fully allotted time. And, we've talked before about how this is going to play out and the dates on the calendar and whatnot. And, you're probably looking at October or November before there is complete resolution to this NCAA thing. So, yes, I agree that it's fair game. Certainly the question is fair game, and maybe the guy was trying to nuance it. We've all been there. Yeah, we've all been there. But I didn't see that there was any meat to the question. They're not looking for much information. It just had that feel of can you just say something so we can get some footage here, or something that we can put between quotes. But whatever the case, it certainly had a life of its own on Twitter, as things like that do. Shifting gears a little bit, Logan, probably the biggest story for Ole Miss, the biggest success story this athletic calendar year happened just last week when the Ole Miss softball team won the SEC tournament in Knoxville, defeating LSU, completing a four-day run in which the Rebels defeated Mississippi State, then number one Florida, and then following that up with wins against Alabama and LSU. And Logan, we know that the SEC is, look, in many of these spring sports, Olympic sports, what have you, track and field, women's basketball, this is a very competitive league. But maybe in no other sport is the SEC more competitive and more respected and well-known than in softball. And this year being another example of that, as all 13 teams, Vanderbilt does not play softball, all 13 teams made the NCAA tournament. For Ole Miss, it was the second time the Rebels have made the NCAAs, last year being the first. So now they have had historic seasons in back-to-back years, and this one is still going on. The Rebels turning that SEC tournament championship into a number 12 national seed, and a home regional with some brand names coming to Oxford this weekend. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with tickets, Logan, because it's just not a very big facility at all. They're going to move in some temporary bleachers. But, you know, with so much interest in Ole Miss softball now from people who weren't interested 3 or 4 days ago, you know, you have some donors who have put up money and bought tickets for the regional that probably haven't been to a game before, but because of their giving priority, they've been able to get some tickets. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. I think it'll be a very, certainly a standing room only crowd. I think it'll be an electric home atmosphere for Ole Miss softball. And, you know, and this program has such a bleak history. They've had several coaches come through, and it just hasn't been able to catch, hasn't been able to, you know, to become a success, you know, even on a moderate level. But when they hired Mike Smith, a California native by way of McNeese State, spent 3 years there in Lake Charles before coming to Oxford, you know, nothing in college athletics is a can't miss, whether it's coaching or recruiting. But you could look at Mike Smith's track record and say, you know what, this could happen. You know, he could make these girls competitive, and he could build a program at Ole Miss. And in year three, he's ahead of schedule. I think the biggest things that that Mike Smith did with this team this year was replace a dominant pitcher that he had last year in Maddie Osias with junior college transfer Caitlin Lee, who threw 440 pitches in the SEC tournament. Every Ole Miss pitch was her pitch, and she won four games and was the tournament's MVP. You know, he was able to replace Osias with Lee, and then he could look on the roster and know he was going to have to replace Osias because she was a senior. But his best offensive player, best position player last year was a freshman in Haley Lunderman, and you didn't think you were going to have to replace her, but she unexpectedly gave up softball. But Mike Smith was able to mix and match and bring some stability to that position as well, and just continue to get some consistency out of his girls. After an 0-6 start in the SEC, they really begin to put things together. Mississippi State is in this tournament as well. The Bulldogs going out to Provo, Utah, where the University, excuse me, not Provo, it's Salt Lake.
Salt Lake.
They're going to Salt Lake City, but they'll play Provo. They'll play BYU there, so it'll be almost like a home game. You and I both have been out to BYU for football, so you know how close it is to Salt Lake City. What do you know about MSU softball this season?
Well, they're back on track a little bit this year. They missed out on the postseason entirely last year, and that's the first time under Van Studeman that that's happened. And they're back, relied on a lot of seniors, Alexis Silkwood, Katie Ann Bailey, you know, some of those Caroline Seitz, Mackenzie Toller, Amanda Ivey. A lot of those names have been around for years and years to come, or the past few years, and you know they've had a lot of success throughout their careers. And this is the fifth time in 6 years that Mississippi State's made the NCAA tournament under Van Studem. It's their 13th appearance overall, and that's all been since 2000. So, you know, 13 appearances in the last 17 years is pretty good, a pretty consistent from a program like Mississippi State. The only problem is they haven't made it out of a regional. They've won at least one game in each of their last three appearances in the NCAA tournament, but just really haven't been able to reach that next step, and that's kind of what they're looking to do this year. But it's going to be a tough road for Mississippi State playing BYU. BYU is a really good program. I think they're ranked 21st in the country. They won their conference, and they have the conference pitcher of the year, conference player of the year, conference coach of the year, conference freshman of the year, and conference defensive player of the year. So they're a really good ball club, and Mississippi State's going to have their hands full. And if they do happen to get past BYU, they face Utah, who's hosting this thing, and I think they're ranked in the top 25 as well. And you know, they're ranked 11th overall, so they're a really good team. And Mississippi State's got a tough road ahead if they want to try to make a super regional. But you know, I think that just their goal for this year was to get back to the postseason, and that's kind of what they've been able to do. Kind of have a bounce back year from what they had a year ago.
Well, Ole Miss will take on Southern Illinois Friday at 8:30. And, you know, we cringe at the 8:30 start times, Logan, but if you're going to have one, softball, you couldn't pick a better sport. Softball, it's a seven-inning game. It's a fast game with a lot of action. Typically, the games move along, so I'm not intimidated by an 8:30 start for Ole Miss softball. The other teams in the regional are Arizona State and North Carolina, some brand names there. They will start the regional at 6 o'clock on Friday. Shifting gears a little bit, some important baseball series this weekend for both schools, Logan, and they'll start Thursday evening. And for Ole Miss, look, I think if they win two, they're in. If they win one at Auburn, possibly. But at that point, you give the committee reasons to leave you out, and you really kind of put yourself in the position of having to watch the bubble and see if there are any bid stealers in these conference tournaments. You know, if you're 15-15 in the SEC, you're going to get in. You're going to have an RPI in the mid-30s, and that's going to be enough to get you in. I think 14 is a big question mark, and it makes the Rebels very nervous during that selection show. So we'll see what they can get done at Auburn. I think two is the magic number. And, you know, we've talked about this for several weeks now. Logan, you go back when there were 12 games left, 9 games. You could look and see what Ole Miss had to do. And this schedule is backloaded for them with road series. They were able to go on the road and win two at Arkansas, which was a surprise. Then they go to Florida, and it would have really helped them if they could have just gotten a game. But they get swept by a team that's as hot as anybody in the conference right now in the Gators. And they come back and really a must-win series. And it wasn't going their way for the first 16 or 17 innings against Texas A&M last week. They really did not pitch it well on Friday. They lost 12-5. They come back, they're losing 4-2 late in the game on Saturday. Looks like the series is going to get away from them. And then they get a couple of hits, they get a key error, all this in the eighth inning, and then they get a huge at-bat, a huge RBI double to take the lead from freshman shortstop Gray Kessinger, a guy who's been hitting under 200 all year. Kessinger has been fantastic with his glove. He's been everything that you heard about him as a high school player. He's made the easy transition defensively to the college game, but it hasn't been as easy for him at the plate, but he battled, he fouled off a lot of pitches. You know, the Texas A&M outfield was not expecting this from Gray Kessinger, but he got a pitch he could handle and doubled to the base of the wall on the warning track on the left field side of center and drove in what turned out to be the winning run. So that was a huge game for Ole Miss. They come back the next day and win the series with, you know, a great pitching performance by David Parkinson and some good relief help too. And that's put the Rebels in this position. And so it's still out in front of them, and they can win their way into the NCAA tournament if they have a good weekend at Auburn.
Yeah, Mississippi State still they dropped the ball a little bit last weekend. You know, they were sitting on top of the West, and we're in contention of becoming a national seed in the NCAA tournament, and you know, kind of had a stronghold on you know, hosting a regional here in Starkville and delaying some of that construction from the new Dodie Noble Field that they're going to start as soon as the last out is recorded there. But, you know, at the same time, you know, they go out to Georgia, a team that struggled for much of the conference season, and they go out and win the first game 9-3, scored the first nine runs of that game. Connor Pilkington has a great outing on the mound, throws eight shutout innings for Mississippi State, really spares that bullpen. It's, you know, we've talked at length about, you know, just how few numbers that they have out there in the bullpen. They don't have a whole lot of arms to run out there. And he spared them that first game, and, you know, things were looking good. And then all of a sudden, their bats just disappeared. They scored nine runs in the first game, and they scored two in the next two games. They lost 4-1 in the next two games to Georgia, and really shot themselves in the foot. You know, had a great chance to go ahead and, you know, extend their lead in the West, and they allowed LSU to kind of leapfrog them. So Mississippi State enters this weekend a game behind LSU. The encouraging thing about that is they play LSU to close out the season here at home in Starkville. But obviously LSU is playing great baseball right now, and they have two of the best arms in the league, and Poche and Alex Lang. You know, those guys have been doing it for it seems like forever over there. I mean, it seems like they've been in the rotation for probably much of this decade, it seems like. And, you know, they're going to face them again. You know, Alex Lang comes in. He's 6-5 with a 2.92 ERA. Poche is 8-3 with 3.16 ERA. And then they come up with a freshman who's 6-1 with a 3.77 ERA. So they're going to face some good arms this weekend. Obviously, Dykeman is a hoss in the middle of that order for them. But Mississippi State has one of those as well, and Brent Rooker. And, you know, State's going to have an opportunity to win the West this weekend and get back into the hosting conversation. Right now, where State stands right there, you know, D1 Baseball released their projections, and they're pretty accurate with that. And, you know, right now they've got Mississippi State as a number two seed in the Hattiesburg Regional. So that's not exactly an exciting, exotic location for Mississippi State to go to. Obviously, it's a destination a lot of Mississippi State fans could get to very easily. But, you know, that's probably not where you want to go play if you're Mississippi State and have to go to Pete Taylor Park down there in Hattiesburg. But, you know, right now Mississippi State is kind of in control of their own destiny. They can win the West if they sweep LSU. They also could win the West still if they take two out of three against LSU and Arkansas loses one of its games at Texas A&M this weekend. So that's kind of the scenario that Mississippi State needs to win the West for the second straight year. And just it's still been a remarkable job no matter what the outcome is by Andy Cannizzaro this weekend or this season. He's facing his former team this weekend, but you know, he just hasn't had a whole lot to work with, and you know, they're right still in the contention heading into the final weekend. And you know, Ryan Rigby, I mentioned him last week. He's not going to be able to pitch again this season. He's out with a groin injury. He hasn't pitched in quite a while anyway. They were still hopeful to try to give him back for the postseason. That he pitched off he tried to pitch a bullpen last weekend and just couldn't do it. So he's going to be out. The only other injury news is kind of an illness news. Harrison Bragg has missed the last three ball games with an illness. He's kind of up in the air, kind of questionable for this weekend. He's a backup third baseman, DH type of guy. So, you know, a good bat to bring off the bench if you need a pinch hit home run. And we'll have to see if he's available for this weekend. But huge weekend. It's the final weekend of Dodie Noble Field, final weekend for the Left Field Lounge. And we'll have to see. They're supposed to have some ceremonies and stuff, and a lot of former players coming back and trying to celebrate what was Dodie Noble Field and get ready for that $55 million renovation they're fixing to put on the place.
Well, just imagine, Logan, a Saturday game on the second day of the NCAA tournament, if it was Mississippi State and Hattiesburg against Southern Miss. I haven't been to Pete Taylor Park since the 90s. I used to be the beat writer covering Southern Miss for the Meridian Star. So I know that place has changed quite a bit, but I can just imagine standing room only and just a lot of fans from both schools there and a great atmosphere. That would really be a spectacle. It's not what state's shooting for. I know that. I know they want to host, but that would really be a great college baseball atmosphere. And those same D1Baseball.com projections right now, Ole Miss is projected as a 3 seed against in the North Carolina regional. North Carolina projected there as the number 2 national seed. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out our news podcast, The Memo, that comes to you every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi. Logan and I will be back with you next week for another edition of Double Coverage.